Easter is wonderful. I love Easter. It's great. It's spring, right? We live in Florida. There is no more beautiful place than to be in Florida in the spring. It's just lovely. We have all of our little critters are all waking up. I've had a friend who found a snake in his electrical box, you know, and he was not happy about that. I'm not particularly afraid of snakes, but I always have the belief that you leave them alone because God told them to be there, so it's okay. But, you know, it's spring. It's a beautiful time. I mean, you can compete and compare with Easter and Christmas for the most important church holidays, church holy days, really. But Easter kind of takes it because it is the central celebration of our faith. It is the hinge on which history turns. It's critically important that we understand this because it really applies to us, not just in Jesus' time, but today and tomorrow and throughout our lives. But the problem is we've heard this story. I mean, we've heard this story so many times, we sort of does right over, you know, right over us. You only hear it so much. And so we reduce Easter to something warm and cuddly. I mean, we can understand that, right? We understand what that means. There's so many symbols of the season. We see everything from chocolate crosses to Easter egg trees. You go down the central aisle at Walmart or Publix or Target and you see what I mean, you'll be inundated with a plethora of fuzzy stuffed toy bunnies and duckies. Some people may take them as their primary symbol of Easter. I was chastised slightly about the, you know, did you eat your eggs, did you eat your bunnies, because I forgot the Peeps. Yes, somebody's favorite Peeps in the choir here. How many eat Peeps? You know what Peeps? Oh, y'all know what Peeps are, right? Yeah. You ever stick them in a microwave? Then you don't know what a Peep is. You got, oh yeah, it's a, yeah. Just do it and don't tell anybody I told you ever, okay? But I mean, we see these things and these symbols, and even particularly for our young people, it is very confusing. They really don't grasp what Easter is about because we have changed so many of the symbols to something else. And I think this general confusion leads to the fact that people really just don't get it. They don't get it. They're bombarded with so many depictions that they lose sight of what it is really about. And I remember that many end up exclaiming, "What's up with Easter? What's the big deal?" And maybe you came here today and just a part of you is asking the same question. What's the big deal? The disciples had watched Jesus die on the cross just a few days earlier. They were all shocked. They were mourning the loss of their close personal friend and the man they thought would save them from oppression. Jesus, the one who raised others from the dead, had been nailed to a cross and killed himself. He had fed multitudes and walked on the water and calmed the seas, but he did not calm the crowd or walk away from the anger or the hatred. He was dead, and his body was in a tomb. And Mary Magdalene came to the tomb to mourn Jesus' death. And when she arrived, to her horror, the stone is rolled away. The tomb is empty. What could have happened? Obviously, just killing Jesus was not enough. Now they had to dig up his body and further humiliate him in some way, to desecrate his body. So Mary ran to tell the disciples. Peter and John ran to check out the story and found things just as Mary had reported. Believing his body to be stolen, the men walked away, but Mary stayed there weeping, and suddenly there were two men in dazzling white robes. Perhaps they saw something. "Please help me," she asked. "Please tell me where you have taken my Lord's body. I don't know where they have put it." And then she turned, and there was Jesus, and she didn't recognize him. But then he called her name, and she knew that he was alive, and Mary ran to tell the others, "Jesus is alive!" The great story. Jesus is alive. So, okay. We wear our Easter ties. We have our Easter egg hunt, and now we're told the story. Is that it? Is that all there is to it? I guess that we can all take our Easter lilies home and go put the Easter stuff away until next year. I mean, but shouldn't there be more to this? The director of a children's Easter pageant was overseeing the casting, and he came out, looked at all the children. They could do different things. And he had one little boy who was actually pretty talented and thought, this is going to be the star. We're going to make him into something important in this thing. But he didn't want an important role. He wanted to be the stone. that would be rolled away. He would be blocking it, and then he would pretend to walk. You know, and say, no convincing would get this kid to be anything like a really talking role or anything like that. And they did it, and he was a stone, and he did a great job, and it was over with. The director said, well, why did you want to be a stone of all things? And he said, well, it's easy, because it just felt so good to let Jesus out of the tomb. Yeah. Of all of our preparations and all of the Lent events, the Bible studies, the music, all of that that we've been experiencing throughout the last few months, it all comes down to this. It is good to be here because once again, we get to proclaim that Jesus is alive. And it feels good to let him out of the tomb once again. The resurrection is the central event of the Christian faith. It is the hinge of history from which everything else flows. Because of Easter, we know that God in Jesus Christ is more powerful than death. God's promises are true. Eternal life is real. Paul said, Christ has been raised, the first fruits of those who have died. Jesus conquered death, and through him so will we. This is the great good news. This is it. As simple as that. The resurrection is not just another thing that we believe. It is the very center of what we believe. Paul again wrote in 1 Corinthians, if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation has been in vain, and your faith has been in vain. If Christ has not been raised, your faith is little and futile, and you are still in your sins, and those who have died in Jesus Christ have perished for good. Nothing is more important. Everything hinges on the resurrection. But we're not just talking about an intellectual belief that resurrection happened. The resurrection gives us hope and power and meaning today because we experience it. We experience it in our lives. It is because of Jesus' resurrection that we can experience all the small resurrections that we have in our lives right here and right now. And so often we don't see this. So often we don't live resurrection lives. And this isn't a surprise. Those first disciples almost didn't see it either. The fact is, we believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life because at some precious moments in our lives, that is what we have found Jesus to be. We may believe in our heads because we've read about it in the Bible or been told about it by somebody, but in our gut, we believe it because it is what we have experienced. When have you experienced it? When have you experienced resurrection? This may sound like a strange question at first, but maybe we just need to take a little closer look. For me, there have been times when I have been tired and burned out and worn out and discouraged. And in those times of discouragement, sometimes I need to take a closer look. And when I do, I see a wonderful woman who loves me in spite of those times when I can be a jerk. Let's be honest, you know. I see wonderful sons that are the light of zest of my life. I have two grandbabies that I can barely keep up with, and yet it's a delightful experience of exhaustion after spending days with them. But I see friends who care about me. Unexpectedly, somebody will tell me how much I may have helped them or meant to them, and I know that all of that is a gift from God. And in the middle of all of that discouragement, there is a little resurrection. I've known people who've lost jobs. They've been laid off, and it's a crushing blow. A sense of self-worth is shattered, and financial concerns, they weigh heavily on their minds. And when they're finally able to take a closer look to evaluate where they go from that point, they often realize that the job that they were doing was not what they wanted to do for the rest of their lives. And they have made changes now, sometimes hard changes, and at the end of doing so, it brings them joy and fulfillment, and after the death of losing that job, there has come resurrection. I've observed friends, some in the church, who face life-threatening illnesses with a quiet confidence, people who somehow see past the hopelessness of the immediate situation to a far greater hope that they have in Christ. Even in the midst of terminal illness, there can be resurrection. I've known those who go through a heartache, a divorce, and all the pain and chaos that that brings, that hurt that may last a long, long time. But I've watched as they begin to live again and find new life. And that is resurrection. There are those who have lost loved ones, and just as darkness hangs over Mary, they have felt a kind of darkness hanging over them as well, a deep, numbing pain. Reverend Bass Mitchell is a preacher whose good friend's daughter died, and it was a devastating event for the family. In her death, Easter, though, took on new meaning. His friend told him these words. He said, "Until you stare death eye to eye, Easter is just a word. A nice day with bunny rabbits and eggs. And when someone so precious to you dies, Easter becomes everything. An anchor in a fierce storm. A rock on which to stand. A hope that raises you above the despair and keeps you going." This man was a teacher who had taught others about Easter all his life. But until he had his own Good Friday, he really did not understand it. Easter comes after our Good Fridays. In the midst of those times in our lives, if we take a closer look, we can see the resurrection that is there. Sometimes we may just barely be able to see it. Sometimes it's a light out in the distance, but it is there, and we need to take a second look, a closer look, to see that resurrection is in our lives and in our world. Easter is not just a day for bunnies and eggs. It is a reality that brings hope and meaning to you today and tomorrow, right where you are, no matter what. Garrison Keillor wrote an editorial in the Chicago Tribune years back, and this is what he wrote about the familiar forms of Easter. He wrote, "I came to church as a pagan this year, though wearing a Christian suit and white shirt, and sat in a rear pew with my sandy-haired, gapped-toothed daughter, whom I would like to see grow up in the love of the Lord. And there I was, a skeptic in the hen house, thinking weaselish thoughts. This often happens around Easter. God, in his humorous ways, sometimes schedules high holy days for a time when your life is at a low tide. And while everyone else is all joyful and shiny among the lilies and praising up a storm, there you are, snarfling and grumbling, which happened to me this year. God knows all about it. I mean, as well, might as well tell you, Holy Week is a good time to face up to the question, do we really believe in that story, or do we just like to hang around with nice people and listen to organ music? There are advantages, after all, to being in the neighborhood of people who love their neighbors. If your car won't start in a cold morning, you've got friends." You see, but Keillor knows that Easter is more than just a shared historical experience that enables us to be nice to each other. It is the unexpected that makes life interesting and stressful. It's our response to the unexpected that reveals both our faith and our doubts and our willingness to let God be God. And this is important. I mean, this is why we're here today, isn't it? I served a church over in Central Florida years ago, and the local newspaper, we had one newspaper, came out once a week. It was really great. But there was a Rotary buddy of mine was the editor of it. I think he was also the publisher, the printer, and the distributor of it. But still, it was a really great little newspaper. But anyway, he was going to interview me, you know, being the Rotarian who worked on Sundays. And he said, "Let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen. What are you going to preach on Sunday?" And I knew that was something of a loaded question because in a previous year, a pastor in that little town had preached on politics on Easter Sunday. Yeah, his people were not happy. He wasn't there anymore. But anyway, I said, "I think I'm going to probably preach on the resurrection." He goes, "Okay, good, nice and simple." And so we talked a little bit about what that meant. And he said, "What, Reverend Head, tell me, what is the point of Easter?" And I thought, the point of Easter, and I was speechless. And for those of you who know me, you know that doesn't happen very often. I really had no ready answer to just to tell them. And I just could see the newspaper the next day, local preacher says Easter has no point, you know. But there is a point to this. There is something to be said after everything has been said today. And it's something like this. Once, and where's Honeybee? Honey, it's a story. Honeybee is a great collector of stories. There was a farmer who woke up and found that the gate to his horse paddy had opened and the horse was gone. And the people of the village heard about it and came to speak to him. "We're really sorry that your horse that brought you such wealth ran away," they said. And the farmer answered simply, "Maybe." 3 days later, the horse returned but had two stallions. And again, the people of the village came and said to the farmer, "Are you ever so lucky that your horse ran away? Because now she has returned with two stallions. Now you have three horses." And the farmer said, "Maybe." And the next day, his son, trying to ride one of the new stallions, fell off and broke his leg. The people came and said, "How terrible that your son broke his leg. We are really sorry." And the farmer replied, "Maybe." A few days later, the army conscriptors came and took all the young men from the village to fight in the war. And the people came to the farmer and said, "You are so lucky. Your son broke his leg and he's not able to fight in the war." And the farmer said, "Maybe." Events do not always have the meaning that we think. Sometimes we have to wait. Sometimes we have to take a closer look. After the crucifixion, the disciples gathered together and said, "It's all over. We'll have to go back to fishing." And God said, "Maybe." Then Easter came, and everything changed. We may look at the situations of our lives and say, "No, resurrection can't happen for me. Things will never get any better. I can never get over this. I can never defeat this. There is just no hope." Well, is there any less hope than being buried? Is there any less hope than being dead and in the ground? It doesn't get any more hopeless than that. And it was in the middle of her deepest pain that Mary experienced her greatest joy. The night is darkness just before dawn, just before the sun rises. And I know that, you know, earthquakes happen all around the world, but there was an earthquake that took place in Sovia, Armenia some years ago, and something that happened, and this is one of those true stories, because all my stories are true. Anyway, you may remember, earthquake struck this particular village, and a father raced to the school where his son was a student, and there was no school building left, only a shapeless heap of rubble. Other people had arrived. They were clutching their hearts and crying out with names of lost children, but the father refused to despair. He rushed to the back corner of the building and started pulling up bricks with all of his might. He had remembered that he made a promise always to be there for his son. And well-meaning parents tried to pull the father away out of the rubble. "It's too late. It's too late. They're gone. They're all dead." But they could not convince him to stop. Even the fire chief in the village tried to pull him out of the sinking hole, insisting the fires and explosions were occurring everywhere. But the father kept on digging, and all of the others deserted him. Finally, in the 38th hour, as his body nearly collapsed, this determined father pulled back a boulder and heard the voice of his son. He screamed the boy's names, "Armand! Armand!" And the child responded to the sound of his name, "Dad! I told the other kids that if you were still alive, you'd save me. And you did it, Dad." See, we may face situations that seem absolutely hopeless. We may face hurt and pain and discouragement and tragedy and even death. But we have a Father in heaven who will not stop looking, not stop searching, not stop digging and working to save us. Jesus was dead, dead and buried. But on the third day, God raised him. Jesus has risen, and Jesus brings resurrection power to you. Now claim it. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful this morning and happy to be here because this is a day of hope. And you know that we need hope. Hope is in short supply in this world. Despair is everywhere. We just pray, oh God, that in this resurrection day, in this celebration of the rise of Jesus Christ, we claim those small resurrections in our lives. And then, of course, the resurrection that will be with us, to be with Him, and to be with all those who have gone before. In the name of Jesus Christ, we proclaim, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen.